My name is Daisha Clay. I'm the audio librarian here at Classical 91.7. While I'm a real librarian, I have a deep, dark
secret.
I know very little about classical music. I grew up listening to rock, and I know something about jazz. But when it comes to classical, but I really want to learn. So, every week on this show, a classical music expert will give me a piece of classical music they think I should know, and then we'll discuss it. Come learn with me in the classical classroom. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Classical Classroom. I'm Daisha Clay, and here with me today is David Ashley White, who is professor of composition at the University of Houston's Moore School of Music. In fact, David was, until this past June, director of the Moore School for, the last 15 years, I believe you said?
Right, that's right.
He's also a composer whose works are widely performed, published, and recorded. I found this particularly interesting. He actually writes hymns that are in the hymnals that you see in churches. I just thought that was so interesting because I've always wondered who those people were and where those songs came from. Anyway, David Ashley White, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Daisha. Glad to be here.
What are you going to be teaching me about today?
We're going to talk about Christmas music, Christmas carols, and some other things. And this is something that I've always been really interested in from a kid on, and I've composed music for Christmas, among other occasions. Mm-hmm. And I thought we'd start out, if we can,
let's get into it.
When I was growing up, I'm a Texan, seventh generation Texan, and I grew up in South Texas, in Alice, the town that I grew up in. One of the big deals every Christmas was a community chorus doing Messiah, Handel's great piece. And that was really my first introduction, I think, to serious music. And that piece has always remained really one of my favorite pieces, period. It's certainly in Handel. Everybody can go back and forth between Handel and Bach and Vivaldi. I love Handel. Mm-hmm. For he was a composer who was, I think, partly because he was a man of the theater, and he knew when too much was too much, when too little was too little. His music was wonderfully effective, and it really, he did all kinds of stuff, including oratorios, which is what Messiah is. It's a piece, it's like an opera, but is not actually staged, and it's usually on biblical ideas.
Okay.
And so Messiah is the story of Christ, from birth to death. Mm-hmm. And there's great music in this. It was composed in 1741, and it was premiered in Dublin the next year. And what's so interesting to me about this music is that it has lived. It has performed so much. It's one of the most, if not the most, performed piece that's in the repertory. Mm-hmm. And it's been, in recent years, with the rise of early music movement, performing on period instruments that were unique to the time that the music was composed, it's been very widely recorded. And what we're going to hear today is one of the first choruses, "For unto us a child is born."
Okay.
"Unto us a son is given," and it goes on. And this is by Paul McCreesh, who's a noted conductor, and his group, the Gabrielli Consort and Players. And this is from 1997. This is one of the really important works for important recordings of Messiah.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Let's listen to a bit of that.
Oh,
Yeah.
It's great. It's so happy, you know, it's so joyful.
I mean, you could easily put a jazz background to it. I mean, the music just bounces along.
It does.
And it's hard. I mean, all of the, it's called melismas that the choir is doing, moving fastly on one syllable.
Yeah.
That's really difficult.
And I was going to say, that was an amazing thing to be able to do with your voice.
Right.
So I'm curious, as I was kind of thinking about this episode, I was wondering, like, this to me sounds like a hymn, but what is it, and I don't know if there's an exact definition, what separates a carol from a hymn, from a piece, from a song? Can you
They're all sort of the same. This is a, I wouldn't call this a hymn. This is just a, it's a movement of choral and orchestral music.
Okay.
And there's also other places in this piece where there are soloists too.
Yeah.
So it's like I said, it's like an opera in effect. And even some of this is now being staged. I've never heard of Messiah being staged, but some people are doing things like that. A hymn is usually what you would sing in church. That's the typical definition, I think, of that. A carol is a song, and it can be a song sung by a soloist, which we're going to hear in just a moment, or it can be sung by a choir.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a term that's for music that is performed mostly at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
There are Easter carols and New Year's carols and things like that. And usually a carol has a religious nature to the text.
Usually, but there are secular carols.
There are secular carols, yes.
Frosty? Frosty the Snowman.
Right.
Would that be,
Or Jingle Bells.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
All that good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear some more. That was great.
Well, next, one of my favorite singers, even though she's not performing as widely today as she once did in the 80s and 90s, is Kathleen Battle, a great, great soprano. And one of my favorite recordings is her doing Christmas carols with Christopher Parkening, who is a very well-known guitarist. And what I want to play here is Mary Had a Baby, which is a traditional African-American spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the absolute incredible purity of her voice. It's a voice like if you hear, if I can turn the radio on and there's music going on, and if I hear a second of her singing, I know it's her. It's such a unique voice. And this is it's a spiritual, but it's a lullaby in a way. Mary had a baby, my Lord. Where was he born? Oh, my Lord. Oh, Mary had a baby born in a manger, and so forth is the way that when it goes. It's an incredible voice, and that says it all.
Yeah.
Baby.
What a voice.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, it's interesting to hear a voice that's so smooth and like clearly trained and it, like singing something that's kind of traditionally a little grittier, you know?
Yeah. No, that was it's the characteristic of her voice. It was just, you know, gorgeous, very pure sound. Yeah. I had the, a couple of wonderful occasions to hear her sing. She gave a recital in Dallas back in the 90s that I went to. She sang some songs by Andre Previn, whose name's going to come up in a second. With the San Antonio Symphony, I heard that. And then I heard a Handel opera that she did at the Met back in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing, amazing performance. Yeah. All of them were amazing performances.
And she has a really cool name.
She
on
does.
On top of that.
She Kathleen does.
Battle.
That's it. I've always thought that.
I'm glad I wasn't alone in that. Very cool.
And you know, something else I like about this, the way this music is being done, it could be done, you know, this is an arrangement of it. It could be done with orchestra or it could be done with organ or piano or whatever. But as a composer, I'm really drawn to sometimes the saying less is more. Uh-huh. I love the fact that it's so spare.
Yeah.
It's just her really with a little bit of guitar underneath her.
Mm-hmm. It really lets the sort of emotion
that's
in the song
come
to the fore.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was lovely.
Yeah.
Well, where do we go from there?
Well, I mentioned Andre Previn. The late 60s was an exciting time here in Houston because for a very, very brief time, unfortunately, it was a brief time, he was the conductor of the Houston Symphony. And when I was an undergrad finishing up my studies here at U of H and I was an oboist, I had the wonderful opportunity to play some in the Houston Symphony my senior year when he was conducting. Mm-hmm. So that was really exciting. What I want to play is a recording that he and Julie Andrews, and this is someone else who had an incredible voice.
Yeah.
I thought she was amazing. He did a whole Christmas album for her arrangements and he was a composer who was also, he did a lot of work in movies. And this sounds like the way he treats the orchestra in this is like a, it's like a movie score. It's mm-hmm. it's big, exciting, bold, colorful. Thanks. And this carol is I Saw Three Ships, which is a traditional British carol from about the 17th century. This describes three ships arriving to visit the baby Jesus and Mary. And it's kind of strange, like there really wasn't, I think the Dead Sea was the closest water to where Christ was born, so it doesn't really make sense. But there's been some people think that the British were just really obsessed with being a seafaring nation back at this time in the 17th century, and that may explain this. But anyway, it's I Saw Three Ships Come Sailing In on Christmas Day, and then it goes, the Virgin Mary and Christ were there on Christmas Day in the morning. So, but it's, just listen, it's riveting. Her voice is great. The orchestra is amazing. Mm-hmm. And this was all arrangements by Andre Previn, who's became, after he left Houston, became a very important conductor in other places, a great composer. He's, in fact, HGO did an opera of his a few years ago. One of the great talents of our time.
All right.
As I sat on a sunny bank on Christmas Day, as I sat on a sunny bank on Christmas Day in the morning, I saw three ships go sailing by, go sailing by, go sailing by. I saw three ships go sailing by on Christmas Day in the morning. Who should be upon that ship but Joseph and his fair lady? And who should be upon that ship on Christmas Day in the morning? whistle and she did sing, and she did sing, oh she did sing. Yes, he did whistle and she did sing on Christmas Day.
I love it. I love the sound of the kind of older recording too. It's a little scratchy.
Yeah. This was remastered. The CD was made of the old 33, which is I bought back in 1968.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I was thinking about this kind of music is, and also the words, mm-hmm. it is not pious music.
Yeah.
It's and I think that's so typical of a lot of English Christmas music. It's joyful and it kind of stretches things, like we're trying to explain how we're three ships coming to, you know, see the Christ child.
Right.
But it's joyful and so it's to me what Christmas is all about.
Well, and I was wondering too if it's like the carols that seem to have, like there are so many Christmas carols out there when you kind of even just do a Google search.
Oh, yeah.
I was finding stuff I'd never heard of before.
Right.
I was wondering if the ones that stick around that you tend to hear the most and that kind of last throughout the ages are, if they're there because they stay with us because they're catchy and they're also in a range that's easy to sing along to.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it makes you want to sing and that
that
kind of keeps the music alive.
Well, and it's music that for the most part can be sung by a range of singers. You can be a professional choir. You can be Kathleen Battle, Julie Andrews, or you can be the person sitting next to you in church or wherever at a concert.
Yeah, it's just it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that I think that you're right.
That's... And it should be. It's not, mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be serious.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean, I think everything that I've chosen to date, I think is quality music. It's well, it's well conceived, it's well performed.
Yeah.
But it still can be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's next?
Well, we're going to go a little into a surprising performer, Sting,
mm-hmm.
who came out a couple of years ago with the Christmas collection. And he sings here the Cherry Tree Carol, which is an old English ballad. And a ballad is a text that tells a story.
Okay.
And that ballad can be secular, it can be sacred, it can be anything. And this particular text and tune also appears in some American collections. You know, a lot of British music, actually music from all over the world, but in the Appalachians, there was the people who settled there had English ancestry, mm-hmm. Scottish ancestry, and it appears some of these songs, and I think this Cherry Tree Carol actually appears in Appalachians, Ozark collection, so it's a...
Wow.
Very much a part of us. And what is interesting to me about this text is that it kind of places emphasis on Joseph, the father. It says, when Joseph was an old man was he courted Virgin Mary, the Queen of Galilee. And normally we have most emphasis is on either the Christ child or the Virgin Mary, but not on Joseph.
Yeah, poor Joseph.
Yeah. And what's interesting, Sting collected, he put together a group of very often unusual instruments to perform on this recording.
Mm-hmm.
This I don't think this is going to be that unusual, but it's this is meant to be a very serious performance. And I think Sting is a very effective singer.
Let's hear it.
So let's listen to it.
All right.
When Joseph was an old man, an old man was he. He courted Virgin Mary, the Queen of Galilee. He courted Virgin Mary, the Queen of Galilee.
I hear that sort of Appalachian.
Yeah, yeah.
And
walking one day, here's apples and cherries so fair to behold. Here's apples and cherries so fair to behold. Then Mary's
There's a legend of when they were walking to Bethlehem, there was a cherry orchard, and this is what she's asking him to pick cherries for her. I think cherries also is sometimes meant as a synonym for charity.
Yeah.
And so...
I'd never heard this one
before. I know. It's, you know, all of these images, the like three ships or a cherry tree, they're all old things that somehow have lingered on and they've made their way into a carol like this.
Yeah.
Which is sung, performed, and so the legend lives on.
I love it. I have, okay, so I've never done this in a show before, but... because Christmas music is some of my favorite music, I kind of wanted to introduce you to a piece. I don't know if you have ever listened to Sufjan Stevens. He's a young-ish guy. He's in his 30s. And he does pop and rock stuff, but he is crazy about Christmas music. And he makes all of these Christmas albums where he uses early music instruments. He gets these choirs together. He does these beautiful renditions of sort of old classic carols. And then he makes up new stuff that's just silly. But he has hundreds of songs that he's put out about Christmas. Todd, if you could look up O Come, O Come, Emmanuel by Sufjan Stevens, I feel like it fits with what we're talking
about.
That's
good. No, it's good. And I don't know this.
All right, let's see.
Four.
Goosebumps.
This is interesting. I like it. He's kind of changing the melody a little bit.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, even the way that we normally sing it is not quite the way it was originally composed, which it was a plain chant.
Was it really?
Yeah, yeah. It goes.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, I don't remember it, but it goes way back to, you know, Middle Ages.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's one of my
favorite
Christmas songs.
And that's, it's very good.
Yeah, oh, I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah.
Nice. So where would you like to take us next?
Well, another old carol. This is a traditional carol from England. And it's Tomorrow Will Be My Dancing Day. And this is a first person Christ telling his life story. And what's typically done at Christmas is a carol are the first several stanzas, and then it goes on to, I think, ends with the Ascension. So it's 11 stanzas, which is details his life.
Yeah.
So the text is old. The music is relatively new. It's by a 20th century composer, John Gardner. And it's exciting to me because there's not just organ and chorus, but there's also a tambourine. It's very joyful music, and it's interesting that Christ is making reference to Dancing Day. I mean, again, it imparts a very secular image of his view about life. He's looking forward to his Dancing Day.
Yeah.
So let's listen to a little bit. This is by sung by a group called the 16, which is a wonderful in English choir.
Tomorrow shall be my dancing day. I would my
I like the bells and snares already.
Yeah.
That's good. I've never heard this one either.
Yeah, it's one that's, you know, really done a lot. And I think what's so great about it is that it shows that music, this is, you know, typically performed in concerts, but a lot in churches, and it doesn't have to be stuffy. It's joyful.
Yeah.
It's very rhythmic, exciting.
Yeah.
So it's, I love it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's fun. It's got that like buoyant thing that I think is, you know, so...
Yeah.
Or at least should be part of the whole Christmas
absolutely.
Season.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Yes, yeah. I want to really kind of change the mood right now. And
all
this
right.
is there's a wonderful Swedish opera singer, Annie-Sophie von Otter, who has made a few years ago made a Christmas record again with a group of instrumentalists that is very early music oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And she has on here, it's a recording of White Christmas, which we all know from, you know, Bing Crosby sang it, and it came, Irving Berlin wrote the music back in 1942, and it was, I think, it was in a movie, Holiday Inn, and that's where Bing Crosby sang this. I think we normally think of this as a very sentimental song.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe it's because she's from Sweden and is, you know, dark, and at the Christmas time up there, things are... You know, pretty bleak, just because
I guess that's true.
There's no light, but it's really strange. It's a very it starts off, you know, like you don't really know what you think it's going to go the way that maybe you know the song, and then kind of bizarre orchestration appears, and it becomes real kind of film noir type of thing.
Ooh,
so just listen.
Sounds good.
And I'd like to kind of get into that to where it doesn't happen immediately.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas card I write. May your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
Just wait.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white.
I'm not sure what Bing Crosby would think about that.
I know. That's great.
Yeah. She's a great, you know, a lot of opera singers nowadays are doing these crossover albums where, you know, and, you know, she's a magnificent singer, but she's, I think a lot of the opera singers can't really do it well, I think, to go from, you know, one direction totally to another.
Yeah.
But this is, I think, a very successful performance.
She went straight jazz singer.
Oh yeah, totally.
That's
totally, totally. But then the way it kind of, you know, the music all of a sudden gets very dark and angular, and you don't know what's where it's right. going. You wonder what kind of white Christmas it really was.
Right, like what kind of Christmas did you know? That's super creepy.
Yeah, awesome. I have a friend at school who didn't react well to it. She just thought it was too extreme, I think.
Uh-huh.
But I love it.
No,
I think it's great.
It's okay. Really good.
I want to move on to, this is another carol. Sweet was the song the Virgin sang when she to Bethlehem, Judea came and was delivered of her son, blessed Jesus hath to name. And lula, lula, lullaby. This is a piece that I composed, and this is performed by the Palmer Choir here from Palmer Memorial Episcopal Church, mm-hmm. and it's on a CD of my music on the Gothic label. So if we could listen to a little bit of this, it's a great choir.
That's lovely.
Thanks. And I go back to what I was saying before. I really, as a composer, I sometimes think simpler is better. And mm-hmm. It's just a wonderful a cappella group.
Yeah.
And the music isn't complicated.
Yeah. It kind of captures that sort of sweetness of that whole story.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I like that.
And going back at the end here, Deck the Halls with Boughs of Holly, which is another traditional carol. It's Welsh from Wales. Anonymous text, and technically this is a New Year's text. It talks about fast away the old year passes, but it's usually done at Christmas.
Yeah.
And this is another of Julie Andrews and Andre Previn from that recording.
Oh, goody.
It's a very cinematic approach to orchestration here.
Yeah.
It's a big, joyful thing.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Don we now our gay apparel, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Troll the ancient Yuletide carol, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Fa la 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 la. Strum the harp and join the chorus. Fa la 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 la. Follow me in merry measure. Fa la 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 la. While I tell of Yuletide treasure. Fa la 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 la.
Yes. Woo. They got crazy. Yeah, it's that catchiness. I mean, I had no idea that this was an old, like, Welsh traditional song.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, this could have been written, I don't know, within the last century.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Know? Well, I mean, it's not ancient, but it's still old. And,
yeah.
And, yeah, I think what makes it so great is Previn had such a wonderful skill as an orchestrator because he started out doing movies. And he learned, you know, that's a really challenging thing for a composer to be able to pull that off so well.
Mm-hmm.
And he really knows how to handle the orchestra. And it's shown up in his own compositions, too, not just arrangements. This orchestration like this for Christmas carols was really something from 30 or 40 years ago so much. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you'll find more of what we heard with Annie Sofer Van Otter or Sting.
Right.
It's more small scale. I think the fact that it's a little bit of what we heard today, there is such a spectacular array of Christmas music. And it's not all this or that, but it's just a million things. And, you know, everybody can find in it, whether it's Christmas music, holiday music, whatever, it's there is really something for everybody. Mm-hmm. And there is so much great stuff done by, you know, great singers like we heard today. And many, many more. This is just a small portion.
Yeah, that's. I mean, you're right. It's everything. It's sacred. It's secular. Yeah. It's.
And even the
downbeat. It's upbeat. It's
And even the sacred can have all of that. It doesn't have to be serious.
Right.
I mean, it is serious, but serious.
But it's fun.
But it's fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, David Ashley White, thank you so much for coming in and bringing this awesome Christmas music to us. It has been totally merry and bright.
Well, thank you. It has been a joyful experience. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, everybody. That about does it for this episode of Classical Classroom. For more Classroom, go to houstonpublicmedia.org/classroom. You'll find links to social media, to ways to listen to the show. We tweet, we tumble. You can email me at dclay@houstonpublicmedia.org. Make sure to rate us, review us. Tell your friends and family about us through dramatic retellings. Thanks today to audio producer Todd Felice Navi Todd Holslander for making us sound good. Thanks to program director Sinjin Flynn for always being merry and bright. That was sarcasm. Thanks to David Ashley White again for teaching us today. Thanks to me for saying words, but most of all, thanks to you for listening. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everyone.
Melikalikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas.
A very Merry Christmas.
A very, very Merry, Merry Christmas to you.